The best place to begin a tour of the village is probably in the old graveyard opposite the present-day Johnstown Inn. Here are the ruins of the old church from which the village actually takes its name. The church, dating from the Middle Ages, was a church belonging to the Knights Hospitallers of St. John of Jerusalem. The Knights Hospitallers were a companion order to the more famous or infamous Order of the Knights Templar. Both of the orders were introduced into Ireland by the Normans in the 12th century. The Hospitallers were originally set up to care for sick pilgrims to the Holy Lands, but they gradually became a military order whose role was to protect and safeguard the pilgrim routes to Jerusalem. Their headquarters in Ireland was in Kilmainham, where the RHK is now, and they had a series of regional centres called commanderies around the country. There was one here at Kilteel, and the church at Johnstown was an outlying church of that commandery. So the village here probably would have grown up between the church and the river. The family associated with this area in the Middle Ages were called the Flatsburys. They were the lords of the manor, seneschals and sheriffs of Kildare. There's a very old grave slab set into the wall of the church here, which has two carved coats of arms, those of the Flatsbury and the Wogan families. The stone has been dated to sometime around the 1430s. There was a marriage between the two families at that time. The most famous member of the family was Philip Flatsbury. He was the official chronicler and scribe to the Fitzgeralds, Earls of Kildare. He wrote a history of Ireland for them, dating from the Norman invasion. And he also drew up a book of all their holdings and rents and so on. It became known as the Red Book of Kildare. This book disappeared after Silken Thomas's rebellion. It was probably smuggled out of the country with the infant 12th Earl. It reappeared again back in Ireland in later centuries. And it's actually now held in the library of Trinity College in Dublin. Leaving the graveyard, we turn left, proceed down the village. After passing three new houses, the two-storey building on the left was originally an old police station. It's described in the Griffiths valuations of the 1850s as a constabulary force barracks, offices and yard. Next, we come to a row of six old cottages with church-type windows in the Gothic Revival style of architecture. This is probably what people know best about Johnstown, these old cottages. Built probably in about the 1830s, most likely by the 4th Earl of Mayo, who was based at Palmerstown House nearby. And they were probably built for four men on the Palmerstown estate. They're specifically mentioned in a book by the famous English writer, William Makepeace Thackeray. He was the author of the famous novel Vanity Fair. And he wrote a book in 1842 describing his travels in Ireland. And he mentions these cottages there. Beyond the cottages, the road runs round to the left. Here stood one of Johnstown's two mills in the 1700s. It was operated by a Reynolds family. And a member of that family, Michael Reynolds, was to become famous as the local leader in this area of the rebellion of 1798. He led the rebels in their doomed attack on the old jail in Naas, which was where the town hall now stands. The rebels were beaten off with heavy losses. Today, Michael is commemorated in a plaque in Irish above the entrance to the town hall there. The mill owned by the Reynolds family no longer stands in Johnstown, but the building did stand here along this road in the 1920s, in which dances and other community events took place. And during a skirmish here during the Civil War, a Free State officer, Lieutenant John Keogh, was shot and killed by anti-treaty Republicans in December 1922. And for a time there was a cross along the bank of the river there, commemorating him. Continuing on down the village, we come to the modern Centra store. But before that was built, a wall ran along here, and inside it you could still see the track of the old mill race leading to Johnstown's other mill. This is the next big building on our left, after Lawler's house. This mill was originally owned by the Latin family of Morristown Latin, but it later passed to a family called Rose, and they gave their name to the nearby Roseborough House. William Rose was involved in the textile business in a big way in the 1700s. Today, the mill building here is occupied by a number of modern businesses, but in more recent times, it perhaps appropriately housed a business known as Croftspun Yarns. If you continue along the road now towards Naas, you'll see a field on your left in which there's a very striking standing stone. It has a circular hole up at the top, and it's been discovered in recent years that it's actually astronomically aligned to sunset on Midsummer's Day. So it's our own little mini Newgrange, you could say. It's now a protected structure. Here we'll turn now and proceed up the other side of the village. On our left, where Discount Tiles is now, was the original site of the Johnstown Garden Centre, the other thing for which Johnstown's probably most famous these days. The centre started off here on this little bit of land, which was left over after the Naas dual carriage was built in the 1960s. As we crossed the river, you could have a look at the old stone bridge here. And on one of the stones in the bridge, there's an inscribed ordnance survey, or crow's foot mark, it's sometimes called. And this recorded that when the survey was done in 1837, this spot was 283 feet above sea level. Continuing on, the old stone wall curves into a large pair of piers into what's now a car park. But originally, these piers were at the entrance to Cairdifftown House. Cairdifftown is named after the Cairdiff or Cardiff family, who were another of the Welsh Norman families that got large estates of land in this part of Kildare in the 1200s and 1300s. The next set of houses on our left are all recorded on the original Ordnance Survey map of 1837. The one with the high arched entrance was originally the village forge. As we proceed up the street, the next large three-story building was the original Johnstown Inn. We know that there's been an inn in Johnstown since at least the 1640s, because we have a written account during the Cromwellian Wars of the parliamentary forces sallying out from Dublin, but they record that they didn't proceed any further than the inn at Johnstown. Maybe they stopped off for a few tankards of ale. The lower building beside it, where the modern Johnstown Inn is, originally was the stables for the original Johnstown Inn. And it was one of the spots along the main road where you could change your horses. They had these stagecoach inns all along the road from Dublin to Cork and Limerick. The road then ran through the village. Some of our older listeners might recall this building when it was set up originally as the Oast of John Devoy. It was set up by an Irish language enthusiast in Gael Inn in the 1960s. The next building up from that, rather ornate building, was in the 19th century a free school operated by Lady Mayo for the children of workers on the Palmerstown estate. I've discovered that it was also used occasionally for Church of Ireland services. So if you turn now and look across the street, you will see another rather unusual house at two levels. This was originally the house lived in by Lord Mayo's land agents. During the First World War, it was lived in by a Major Blacker and his wife, and their only son, Captain Cecil Blacker, was killed in the early days of the war at the Battle of Mons. His mother was distraught at this. It's said that afterwards she became obsessed with trying to contact her dead son, and she started dabbling in the occult and holding seances in the house and using the maid they had there as a medium. And this had very unfortunate repercussions for the maid later on. This whole episode is said to be the basis for a famous Irish play, The Righteous Are Bold, which was written in the 1940s. On the subject of demonic possession. We're now back where we started, outside the old graveyard, And if you look in through the arch, you can see a large Celtic cross in the centre of the church ruins. This marks the grave of Richard Southwell Burke, the 6th Earl of Mayo, and probably the most famous member of that particular family. Like all his family, he was part of the British ascendancy, and he represented Kildare in the Westminster Parliament. At a young age, he was appointed Chief Secretary for Ireland. In 1870, Richard was given an even higher political appointment as Governor General or Viceroy of India. After just 2 years in that job, he was assassinated by an Indian rebel and was brought back to Ireland for burial. On the long trip home by ship, his body was preserved by immersing it in a barrel of rum. That was the usual custom at the time, what they did with Nelson and all the other people who died at sea or far away. All the great and good turned out for the reception of the Earl's body in Dublin, and they followed his coffin down to Johnstown, where he was buried with full pomp and ceremony. But the locals had the last laugh, because village tradition holds that some of the local guys managed to get hold of the discarded barrel of rum and proceeded to get stuck into the contents. One local wag that night is supposed to have raised his glass and proposed a toast to the pickled Earl. And that's how he's been remembered in the village ever since.